Hour number two. Sorry about that, James. You couldn't hear any of that. That's okay. We're back. Hour number two. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We are hanging out with you until noon, and then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and Casey. This program is sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Visit JiffyLube.com to find the location nearest you. Hassan Whiteside nicknames. Agent Block.
Okay.
And Count Blockula.
That's it?
Just two.
Oh, no.
You were saying at the break that he one time in a car ride?
In a car ride interview with Jason Wise, who was King's, I don't know. What do they call him? Like, their creative team.
Okay.
You know who Jason Wise is?
Yeah, I've heard the name.
Okay, he was there for years, for, mm-hmm. I don't know, 15, 16, 17 years,
okay.
And then left, and him and his wife moved to Miami, and I think they both were covering
Hassan Whiteside,
the MLS team with Messi.
Sure, okay.
Yeah.
But he was regaling this guy with all of his nicknames.
Yeah, and Hassan Whiteside, for an entire, 15-minute car ride, had, one nickname after another after another after another.
He just said, here's all my nicknames?
Oh, yeah, he just kept going. There might be a video of it somewhere. I'll have to
That's
look.
A great bit, actually.
Yeah.
Just giving yourself nicknames off the fly.
Yeah. You know, it's been a long time, but I'm sure we can dig it up.
I hope so. That sounds like a great time. Okay, so Matt Barrow's on 95.7 The Game. We'll run through this a little bit quicker here. Matt Barrow's on 95.7 The Game said this is the best 49ers team that he has covered since 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, I have some pushback on it, but we're just kind of going through position by position to see how many position groups this year's team actually has the best version of since 2002.
Mm-hmm.
We said 2024, Brock Purdy, probably going to be the best quarterback. But we went with the running back room in 2023, assuming Christian McCaffrey won't replicate his success from last season. The wide receiver room, mostly a push. Tight end room, we went back to 2012. Offensive line, we went back to 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive line, I'm going 2019. That's the other team that I don't want to say gets slept on because it was such an early version of what this team has become. It was second year Fred Warner. It was third year George Kittle. It was rookie Debo Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
Emmanuel Sanders was in the mix, and he obviously did not stick around. As Kendrick Bourne, a running back by committee, running back room by committee, as Tevin Coleman. That was the Raheem Mostert coming out party, of course, in that NFC title game. But I'm going with the 2019 defensive line. He had prime Eric Armstead.
Yep.
Yeah, prime DeForest Buckner. You get rookie year Nick Bosa, who was defensive rookie of the year. You get the best version of D4 that you got during his brief time in San Francisco.
And well, he was here forever. He just never played.
Yeah. I know that trade went down as a disaster, but objectively, when D Ford was on the field
mm-hmm.
with Nick Bosa, they were really, really good at getting to the quarterback. So you had D Ford. Sheldon Day was really good for that team. There's one more name I'm missing. I know Kevin Givens played a little bit. I can't remember, but I'm going 2019. That's my, I feel good about it.
Okay.
I gotta go find what name I'm missing.
I don't think it's even all that close.
Really?
I mean, well, you do have the years with Alden Smith and
Justin Smith. Yeah, that's the.
I mean, those two together were just absolutely devastating.
They were so sick.
Yeah. It's tough because those years were, but when Bosa is healthy and
DJ Jones. Okay, go on.
Okay,
sorry.
I don't think there's a way for this year's defensive line to match up against almost any of those. I think that they will be good.
Yeah.
And I think that they'll probably get more pressure on the quarterback than they have in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they can hold up against a run up the middle and stuff, I'm not sure. I don't know if this fully is going to look spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that, when you have linebackers and you have hard-hitting safeties and stuff like that, you're going to be just fine.
The... So it's tough to loop in 2012 because in 2012 they ran the 3-4. So Alden Smith is technically a linebacker.
Okay.
Ahmad Brooks technically a linebacker, but I'm going to just include them in the defensive line conversation for the purposes of this discussion. 2012 was Ray McDonald having his best year as a pro. Not a good guy, but had his best year as a pro. Isaac Sopawaga at nose tackle, really, really good player.
Yes.
Justin Smith, borderline Hall of Famer, really, really good player.
I think he's a Hall of Famer.
I think there's an argument for him to be made for sure. You had Alden Smith setting records. He had 19 and a half sacks that year in 2012. Ahmad Brooks on the other side, 6.5 sacks. Ahmad Brooks is a really good player. If you want to take 2012 over 2019, I'm definitely not gonna quibble.
I would probably take it.
You go 12 over 19?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, that's fair. Again, coming back to 2012. The more we do this, the more I land on the 2012 49ers being the best team since 2002. And I think that continues when you look at linebacker. Now, I have had this argument with Joe Shasky before.
Okay.
Joe Shasky, huge Niner fan, 49ers historian. He says he will take Fred Warner over any linebacker the Niners have had. And there's, like I said, argument to be made. But the Navarro Bowman Patrick Willis duo in 2012 was sick. It was so good.
Yeah, I mean,
but Warner and Greenlaw last year also really good.
Yeah, they're both great.
Yeah,
I'm taking Willis and Bowman.
They were both all pros that year. You had two linebackers, both making the all pros.
They were so incredible, man.
Yeah, dude. I think Warner and Greenlaw fit as like the prototypical modern linebackers for sure. When they're both healthy, they are two of the six best linebackers in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Off-ball linebackers. But I default to Willis and Bowman.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna lean, and I think the 2012 version of both of those guys is the best version.
Yeah, like I don't think Navarro Bowman makes the Hall of Fame.
No, he didn't. He didn't play long enough.
Three-time Pro Bowl. He was a four-time All-Pro, though, so mm-hmm. maybe. But, you know, the knee injury.
He was never the
devastating.
Same.
Devastating.
Yeah. Here's something that's messing me up. I felt like Justin Smith in 2012 was so old. I was like, man, Justin, he's just been around. He's 33!
No.
I'm older than Justin. I am now older than Justin Smith was in 2012.
Oh, no.
That's messing with me right now. I'm having a hard time with it.
That's tough.
I would call, if you want to call 2012 and 2023 a push, the bottom line is 2024 is not better than either of those.
No.
Because it's going to be Devondre Campbell, okay, maybe he's fine, but he's not going to be nearly as good as Dre Greenlaw or Patrick Willis or Navarro Bowman. It's not even going to be close.
No.
So if you want to call 12 and 23 a push, I think that's okay.
How long is Greenlaw out for?
At least 4 weeks.
But we're thinking more.
I would guess more.
And do we have anything?
He tore his Achilles in February, man.
I know. Well, but the new Achilles surgery is not nearly as invasive. It depends on how they did the surgery, because mm-hmm. the old Achilles surgery was like to put a zipper up the back of your calf.
Gross.
Which is just like...
Sounds horrible.
Well, it would take so long to recover both the calf muscle and just the healing process mm-hmm. on the back of the leg. And then they started doing like the little scope, but it just depends on the type of Achilles injury.
I see.
Of course, they're getting like the best doctors known to man, but wasn't it Kobe that came back like in no time from an Achilles? It was like 6 months.
Yeah, so, Cam Akers too.
Yeah, so there's a possibility for him to come back relatively quick, but you said February, yeah.
Yeah, just that's the thing is even if it's 8 months, you're talking October.
Yeah.
10 months, you're talking December. Like, I just, I'm not banking on it for sure this year. And even if he does come back, what does he look like compared to what he looked like last year?
Yeah.
And the year before that.
Yeah.
So, cornerback, I think this is going to be their best cornerback room.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I think Charvarius Ward is playing at a really high level. I think you're going to get a leap from Diamador Lenore after he took a jump last year. I think you get another jump from him this year.
Mm-hmm.
Isaac Yiadom or Renardo Green as the third corner. I think you feel good about that. And whichever one doesn't start is going to be a really good depth piece. Rock Ya-Sin is a quality veteran who had a really nice camp and a really good preseason. He's also on the roster. I think this will be the best cornerback room they've had. And in 2012, it was Carlos Rogers and Terrell Brown, really good duo. 2019, it was Richard Sherman. But remember, Akello Witherspoon started playing really well, and then he hurt his foot. And Emmanuel Mosley came in, and he was okay. And then Witherspoon came back, but then lost his job twice, including in the playoffs. Emmanuel Mosley turned into a nice player. He just wasn't there yet in 2019. He had second team All Pro Richard Sherman, future Hall of Famer out there, but I the depth was not there the way it was. I guess Tremaine Brock also in 2012, but
yeah.
I'm going 24 in the cornerback room. That's a good group.
Okay, I'm with you. The safeties though, like this year's safeties, we just don't know enough.
Too many question marks, man.
We just don't know.
If Talanoa Hufanga had not gotten hurt last year, I think I would I could see it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But they Jimmy Ward was better than I think what Jair Brown is going to be this year. He's better than any version of Talanoa Hufanga they're going to get.
Yeah.
And when you go back and you look at 2022, and it was I guess Jimmy Ward was in the slot that year. With Tayshawn Gibson starting next to Talanoa Hufanga. He had an All-Pro Hufanga, but Tayshawn Gibson was just okay.
What about the older teams? Because I haven't gone back and looked even like the
Deshaun. I will ride with this. Deshaun Goldson and Dante Whitner.
Oh yeah,
the style of play. It would never work now, because they both just ran around and just laid hats.
Just
like
hit
that was
people.
That would they yeah. are just gonna lay the wood.
Yeah.
Pause. And I would lean that way over again. Like Jimmy Ward had some really good years, but never had another excellent player next to him. And when he could have in 2022, they moved him into the slot where he didn't get to play safety.
Mm-hmm.
So, all due respect to 2022 Talanoa Hufanga, who was good. I'm going with the 2011 or 2012 team.
Okay,
I'm probably going to go 11. I think 11 Whitner and Goldson were better than 12, but it's nitpicking.
Okay,
and I feel like I've been biased towards the 2012 team, so I'm going to pick 2011 for my note keeping.
Okay, no, I'm with you.
All of this is to say the 2012 team is the best 49ers team that Matt Barrows has covered, and I don't think this year is going to be better.
I think it's still kind of a coin flip.
Okay.
I don't know.
Between 2012 and this year?
Well, I mean, they win on the defensive line and the offensive line.
I don't even know that this year is going to be better than last year.
No, that's true. Man, that's tough. I mean, I guess when you're in it, you're like you want to avoid like talking like this way, right? Mm-hmm. In like crazy superlatives and like blowing this thing up and saying, oh, they're going to be, I mean, I think the argument could be made, but it's really tough to predict what a team is going to do, especially when you're looking at a 20-year period where there were some really great teams included in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I'm taking the quarterback, I'm taking the wide receivers from this team, I'm taking the running backs from this team over almost any of them.
Okay, let's do this. Rapid fire. Are the 49ers better at quarterback this year?
Yes.
Okay. Running back?
Than any year, but maybe last
year.
No,
2012? From 23 to 2024, did they get better at these positions? Quarterback?
Yes.
Okay. Running back?
Even Steven.
Okay. Wide receiver?
Better.
They're better this year?
I think they're better this year.
Okay. Tight end?
Same. Well, actually, okay. I'm going to say last year's tight end group overall was better, just because I don't think they really have depth here.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you. Offensive line?
This year is better.
I think
Pooney's better.
Yeah, I also think I agree with you. Defensive line?
No. Last year's defensive line was better. Well, I don't know, because Bosa wasn't very good.
Yeah, he was productive, but not dominant. They had to trade for defensive ends twice.
Yeah. Well, they might have to do the same thing this year.
Yeah, that's the thing is yeah. they go and you get Leonard Floyd and you get Yetur Gross-Matos and they bolstered their interior depth with Malik Collins and Jordan Elliott and mm-hmm. I guess overall the depth on the defensive front is better this year.
Okay. Are they right now, especially with them only having like two or three defensive ends on the roster?
Yeah, three that you feel good about and Robert Beal, who's a second year player, didn't do a lot as a rookie. I think I go this year. You're getting a more locked in Nick Bosa.
Mm-hmm.
You have more depth on the interior. I think Leonard Floyd is going to be better than anybody that they've had across from Nick Bosa.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this year is better than last year. I think they've improved.
Okay.
Linebacker?
No.
Worse. They're worse to me.
Yeah.
Corner?
I think they're better.
I think they're better at corner this year, too.
Yeah.
And then at safety.
I think they'll get to a point where they're as good or better than last year.
Yeah, I can't confidently say because Jair Brown, I feel really good about. I've predicted him at NinersWire.com to go to a Pro Bowl this year.
Yep.
But Hufanga is still a huge question mark. That's one of the things that's kind of hanging over all of this. Mm-hmm. He tore his ACL in week 11. He just recently got back into practice. If he does play, what does that look like? It's always, everybody always says it's the second year after the ACL. If he's not playing at a high level, and that's a pretty significant question mark because while he was really good in generating turnovers and creating splash plays and doing all that, he got caught looking a lot or got caught out of position a lot by going and trying to make one of those splash plays.
Yeah.
And hey, the quarterback's scrambling, he's going to go get him up Dante Pettis wide open down the field for a touchdown against the Bears because Hufanga inexplicably vacated the deep half he was in. So, I'm interested to see with Hufanga how his game translates in the first season coming off an ACL tear.
Okay.
Because his athleticism was more than functional. He didn't test well, but you watch him athletically on the field and he obviously belongs as an NFL athlete, but it wasn't like jump off the screen, holy crap, his athleticism. So maybe that'll help him. Because he doesn't have to rely on that so much. But if it's sapping whatever athleticism he did have, those splash plays are going to be fewer and far between. Fewer and further between? Fewer and further between. Few and far between.
Yeah.
And if you're taking that out of his game with a blown coverage here or there and he's still jumping snap counts and I'm wary. For sure, that you're going to get an all-pro caliber Talanoa Hufanga this year.
Mm.
And Tayshawn Gibson was pretty good last year.
He was all right.
Jair Brown was okay when he came in. So
I think he'll be better. Yeah. Jair Brown will be better. No, I think this team has... I think it's interesting we're talking about the 49ers like this because we can... I think last year's 49ers team was the most talented team in the NFL. And I think this year... It's very close again. They might be the most talented team from top to bottom in the NFL.
Yeah, I think I agree.
Yeah. I mean, whether they win the Super Bowl or not, that's not the point. You can be the most talented team and lose.
Yeah, and I think that's why there's so much urgency
mm-hmm.
and so much hand-wringing and panicking is because 2019, they weren't expected to make a run, but then they did.
Mm-hmm.
But 2021, everybody knew that was a really good team. 2022, they trade for Christian McCaffrey halfway through the year. Everybody knows that was a good team. 2023, same deal. This season, going through the preseason, you see Niners up near the top of a lot of power rankings, and they're up near the top in Super Bowl odds, and you go through like Pro Football Focus and ESPN analytics, and this is the best roster in football. I'm like, okay, that's great, but it's translated to nil.
Well... As far as like rings,
yeah. That's what I'm saying though.
Yeah,
is they've had this incredible run of success from just compared to what was it 2003 to 2010.
Oh yeah, where they didn't make the playoffs.
They didn't make the postseason, right? So many teams except like every team except the Chiefs, and who else has won one? The Buccaneers.
Mm. Yeah.
Is that right? Are they the only teams to win Super Bowl since 2019?
Oh, man. Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah, Chiefs and... I feel like I'm missing a super obvious thing.
Yeah.
The Chiefs won in 19. The Buccaneers won in 20.
And then 21 and 22. No.
The Chiefs won in 22 and 23.
Yeah, we're missing a year. Oh, the Rams.
The Rams in 2021. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, the Rams beat the Bengals. That's right. What a forgettable game.
Yeah, Stafford.
Yeah. So... 29, 28 other teams would love to be in the 49ers position,
mm-hmm.
for sure. And they're going in again with the most talented team. But it's so difficult to sit here and go, yeah, hey, they're going to be awesome. Look how talented they are. Matt Barrow says it's the most talented team that he's ever covered since 2002. Holy smoke. Okay. Heard it before. And they've not lifted a Lombardi trophy. So I can't, it's a weird spot to be because they're obviously talented. They should be one of the best teams in the league. They should be a Super Bowl favorite. All of that tracks. But then you start stacking up, okay, well, they haven't gotten over the hump yet. Why haven't they gotten over the hump? Well, injuries, yeah, no, for sure, but that's every team's had to deal with that. Oh, and there's the Jaquaski Tart drop. Oh, yeah, that was really tough. Yeah, okay. But really, what's been the... Well, Patrick Mahomes has gotten in the way to us. Like, oh, hit the brakes. Because you still got Patrick Mahomes in his prime, hanging out.
Oh, yeah.
That's been the foil. Not to mention, now all of a sudden, the NFC is getting a lot better. And it's like, if it hasn't happened by now, I don't care anymore that they're the most talented team in the league. Because I agree with you. I think they are. But it just, it doesn't move me anymore. It moved me in 2022 when they got Christian McCaffrey and going, oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this might be a just dominant group. Okay, and they've been really good, to be sure. But it just, okay.
It's tough because you are, at the end of the day, you're always judged by whether you win a Super Bowl or not.
100%.
And you're in an era where there's one guy in the way, and it really does feel like the 1990s in the NBA, mm-hmm. where like there were great players and great teams,
mm-hmm.
and they all lost to Michael Jordan. The only reason that Jordan didn't win 8 straight titles is because he took 2 years off.
Yep.
I mean, that's it. So, like, it's one of those things where you're looking at, like, this is an era where one quarterback is disturbing the legacy of so many players
teams. We need to get Patrick Mahomes to retire.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing from you.
Yeah,
but that's it. Like, that's I think kind of the crux of all of this. We've talked a lot about Josh Allen recently as different quarterback rankings have come out.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what the thought process on Josh Allen would be if Patrick Mahomes had not gotten that field goal in the last 13 seconds?
Yeah.
And Josh Allen went into Arrowhead and he knocked off Mahomes and maybe goes and wins the Super Bowl. Like, there's so many different, and then there's the 49ers aspect of it, where the Niners were better than the Chiefs last year. On paper.
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't matter because they had number 15, and that was it. And I'm not talking about Juwan Jennings.
It's one of the toughest realities that we've seen in sports, where there is one person. I mean, I don't know about you, but I didn't really enjoy watching the Cavs and Warriors go with 4 straight finals against each other. I didn't really care for it. Like, it was like, okay, this is not intriguing. This is not like a heavyweight fight, and this is round 3, and we're getting to see this epic.
Right.
It's not fun. It wasn't fun watching the Dallas Cowboys run over the Buffalo Bills again and again and again. It wasn't entertaining. You kept getting to this moment where it's like, but I think the one thing I would point out is that Mahomes, and the way that the game is never secure. Mm-hmm. It's not over until the clock says 0-0 with Mahomes. It adds an element that you just can't ignore. He is high drama.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to watch. And you're just wondering, one of these times it won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he did lose the Super Bowl. So one of these times it won't happen again.
Yeah.
And you're just hoping that your team is there to be there for the moment, and that your team is so much better than him and his team that You don't have to worry about the final minute and a half of a game that you're up 17 points and there's no way to come back, and you got him.
All you have to do is be that much better than the Chiefs.
Yeah. It's tough. Man,
what a brutal position he puts people in. Okay, we got to hit a break. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll have the handoff. One of D'Lo or Casey. It'll be Casey today?
No, it was Casey yesterday. He was part of the five that were in here.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, when we had everybody in here. That's right. Okay, so I believe Damian Barling will be in here for the handoff today. That's coming up in about 15 minutes here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Ravens-Chiefs tonight, kicking off the 2024 NFL regular season. Chiefs favored by 3 at home against Baltimore. Patrick Mahomes v. Lamar Jackson to open the season. He said, would have liked to see this mid to late season when both teams are locked in, but I'll take a night one. I'll take any meaningful football at this point. I'm there.
I'm here for football.
I'm not going to complain too much.
Yeah, I cannot wait.
Hey, here's the thing. Tomorrow, the Packers and Eagles play in Brazil. The country that just recently banned X.
Oh, my goodness.
Currently X.
Yes.
So are people covering the game going to have to go to Threads or Facebook? Or
I guess.
Are they just going to have to go super old school and we'll find out in the paper the next day what they thought? Live blogging? Is that what it's going to be? People going back to the live blog era? I think that's what I would do.
Yeah, yeah.
If I was tasked with going to Brazil to cover a Kings and Bucks game.
Wouldn't hate it.
And they said, hey, Twitter is banned. You can't use Twitter. I'd 100% fire up a live blog. Super old school. Timestamps and everything.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think that would be one thing. We could also join John Bull on Threads and just hang out there.
I'm already on Threads.
Yeah, I'm on Threads too, but I don't participate on Threads all that often.
Yeah, I need to do better about it.
How many platforms do we have to be on? I mean,
it's copy pasting. I just forget that I have Threads. I forget that it's a thing for me because I don't have the Twitter app. I use Twitter, the mobile website.
Okay.
Yeah, I got rid of the app, and I did that partly so I wouldn't be on it as much, but partly because I didn't want to have the app on my phone anymore. So it's like, it's not going app to app. I just close out of the internet usually when I'm done, and I don't think to go to another app.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just got to be better about it. It's fine. Small ways to improve.
Yeah, I guess so.
Ravens, Chiefs tonight. Chiefs favored by 3. Who you got?
Chiefs.
Yeah, I think they're locked in. I think the Chiefs might steamroll these dudes tonight.
I'm super excited to see their receiving core.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sans Hollywood Brown so far.
Yeah, but yeah. I think that's not
Maybe
a bad
Worthy,
thing.
The X Factor?
That's not a bad thing because I think it does open things up for Worthy, and it does open things up for like Juju to kind of get back in the flow of things. And, you know, I think this receiving core there is just so much better than last year's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, like, the bar wasn't super high.
Oh, no. The bar was like so low. That was.
Yeah. And maybe this means that they keep Travis Kelce in the garage a little bit.
You know they won't.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Was he 35 now?
Yeah. You know what I like about Rice on that team is that Rice basically runs a similar route and a similar style to what Kelce does.
Mm-hmm.
So adding these other pieces, whether it's Hardman, whether it's Juju, whether it's Worthy or Hollywood, like. Mm-hmm. Those guys aren't going to do what these other guys are already doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can transfer some of what you've done with Kelce over to Rice. He's running a lot of, you know, short routes over the middle.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of the same, like, facing Mahomes and then making a move off of the catch.
He's so good after the catch.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's really, he's going to have a good season. I don't know if he'll be the same player because of all these other receivers they've added, but I still think that that receiving core has potential to be like one of the better in the league. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, and it's going to be the thing that's going to be tough for, and this is part of the reason I said earlier, I think they're going to have their 96 Bulls season, is because you talk about Travis Kelce, who's just a tough cover. Rashee Rice came on strong last year. Not only a tough cover, good at getting open in those short areas and turning a short throw into a chunk play, into an explosive play. But now you have that vertical element with Xavier Worthy, who has the fastest 40 time in the NFL. You bring in Hollywood Brown, and that's kind of been his bag as a pro, is the deep third of the passing game. So now they can actually attack defenses at all three levels in a way that they couldn't last year. Last year it was, hey, Patrick, run around and find somebody in the short area and hopefully they can make a play.
Yeah.
It was a huge problem for them. And Kadarius Toney, their guy who was supposed to take the top off defenses, can't catch football. So I think there's a chance that we see just a lights out version of the Chiefs offense this year.
Yeah, by,
I think we see it tonight.
By like week four, I think Pacheco could be like dominant. Because I think they will have opened the spacing up. You know, like it's
a nightmare, man.
Yeah, they're going to be really tough to defend. Once they're healthy, once they've got a rhythm, they're going to be really, really difficult. I don't know. The Ravens are going to be great too. The Ravens have a, you know, really, really good team. And I forget, Travis Henry's there. And like
Derrick Henry.
Yeah. My bad. Yeah. They're going to punish people. Like their run game should be just incredible.
Derrick Henry might have I don't have the numbers in front of me, so I don't want to say unprecedented. Derrick Henry might have the best season of his career.
Oh, that's
which
tough.
Is really which is hard to say because he's 29 now. Did he turn 30? He's 29. Yeah, he's 30. He turns 31 in January.
Okay.
And this is a guy who's had 2,027 yards and 17 touchdowns in a season. But, dude, with the way this Ravens run game works and the fact that you have to factor in Lamar Jackson, there's a chance that Derrick Henry is able to get downhill in ways that he just never could in Tennessee.
No, that's true, but there's also like possibilities that he's going to lose carries to Lamar that... You know, I hope that...
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, he could lose touchdowns to Lamar. He's either going to have 20 or like he's going to have like 8. Yeah. I don't think there's any
I hope it's the former because I think we have him on our... On our fantasy team.
We do have him on our fantasy team.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, we'll... I don't know, man.
I'm here for it. I think this is going to be a really fun night of opening night football. I'm with you. I wish they would have pushed this game out to a later date. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think it's still going to be, this is what you want. You want to see heavyweights. You want to see like excitement, everyone gearing up for the season. And you want to see the Chiefs. They've turned themselves into, in the Mahomes era, into must-see TV. Like you can't turn away from them.
Yeah.
So like they're on all the time, but it's like, I like when I'm watching football on Sundays, I'll have the Chiefs game on and then I'll have the Niners game on and I'll watch them in their entirety with a secondary TV with Red Zone, with the volume up on Red Zone so I can sit there and listen to that as opposed to, you know, just honing in on the one game that I'm watching.
Right.
But I still think it lends itself to like just like watching them play every single week is it's like watching Jordan play. Like it's magical. You're like, I can't believe I just saw that.
Yeah.
And he does it like 5 times a game where you're like, no one else can do that and no one else has done that and no one else would even try that.
Yep.
And not only did he do it, but he did it at such an elite level that you're like, dude, did you practice that? Like, how is that possible?
He does practice it. That's what's crazy.
Just sits around the house throwing underhand passes behind his back.
Yep. Why not?
All right.
Yeah, left-handed throw. Why not? Yeah. He's pretty remarkable. Let's put a pin in the NFL thing for a second. Some San Francisco Giants news came down late last night. A 6-year, $151 million contract for now Bay Area legend Matt Chapman. Congratulations to Matt Chapman. He got paid. 6 years, $151 million for the 31-year-old. I love this idea for the Giants.
Mm.
22 homers this year. He's batting .247, playing Gold Glove caliber defense. They need athletes in defense, and that is what Matt Chapman provides. If he's going to hit 20 homers a year, then that's even better. They needed to show that performing well like he has results in something.
Yeah.
And they needed to establish some kind of foundation with a veteran that wasn't just like, yeah, hey, here's Michael Conforto for a couple of seasons and here's Jorge Soler for half a season. That's not conducive to building a winning team or a winning culture. And so now you have an established veteran on a 6-year, $151 million contract. He's going to hold down the hot corner. He's going to play great defense until he hangs up his spikes. I think he's going to continue hitting enough to justify the deal. And now you can build out from there. You have that established vet in the locker room, and he was rewarded for what's been a terrific season for him.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a lot of money, to be honest, $151 million for a guy, mm-hmm. which I've always enjoyed. I mean, we're two A's fans here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy's ability to play defense is just top-notch. I think he's tremendous. But he's more of a 6-7 hitter in the modern baseball world. And so it's a little bit of it's a lot of money for a 6-7 mm-hmm. hitter, but at the same time, like, the Giants have to start somewhere, and they have to yep. do moves like this, and then they've got to do like three more moves like this mm-hmm. in order to build this thing up. And yeah. until they do that, you're always going to kind of be like waiting for that next mm-hmm. shoe to drop. It's not like, you know, again, like comparing him to the A's, where it's just like this band of like 28-year-olds who mm-hmm. who had failed everywhere else and all of a sudden find a home and get the opportunity and start hitting, or young players that are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some hope and you're building something. The Giants just do everything so much differently. Mm-hmm. And it's almost awkward to a point. Like it feels like every position almost is a platoon
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to like save money here and there. And it never really feels like it's going to work. And then they pop off for 100 and something wins.
If you think that you're going to have a hard time signing free agents, which has been the whole thing. Oh man, they always finish in second place. No, they got Carlos Correa, but there's a thing with the ankle and the physical, and they let him go. And if you think your problem is that you can't get free agents to stay, then when you do get one in the building on a short-term deal and that player outperforms that short-term deal,
mm-hmm.
maybe you have to overpay, but at least it keeps them in the building. And if that's what you have to do to get quality players here, because if you let Matt Chapman hit the open market and he gets maybe he wants to go to Chicago or New York. And yeah, hey, he'll take a little less to go to one of those places. But hey, here's 6 and 151 from the Giants right now.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'll take that. I'm not even going to test the open market.
Especially Bob there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a guy he knows in the Bay Area where he spent so much time when he was with the A's. So good for Matt Chapman, good for the Giants. Love that we'll continue to watch the best defensive third baseman in the sport do his thing.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a lot of fun. The A's also DFA'd a person named Jansen Junk. Your thoughts?
It makes perfect sense that the A's would DFA Junk at this point in the season.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
I mean, in all honesty, like, they just keep signing guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even yesterday, some dude got DFA'd or he got waived by somebody, and then mm-hmm. they claimed him off waivers. He's mm-hmm. batting like .300 and got 17 homers at AAA this year. But again, a 28-year-old.
Yeah.
You're the way that they build their teams, though, you can almost respect that you get it. Like, they're trying to find guys who are in their prime
mm-hmm.
and have gotten better and have filled out, and then all of a sudden you get them, you have team control of them over for 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a weird way to build a team, but I've also seen them find those guys and then build them up and then halfway through a season trade them and go out and get something of value.
Yeah.
And so, again, a weird way to build a team, but mm-hmm. I like their willingness to build a team better than I do the Giants, who you're like, you got the money, just go ahead and spend it.
Damian Borling in the building for the handoff. Damian, how's it going, man?
Out there arguing with Paul Marshall.
About?
Well, he
did he drive by take you?
He did. Well, he's not a big, he's an Oakland Raider guy. Like, he is a Raider black
Oakland
hole.
Raider.
Yes.
So
very,
didn't
very
follow
much
them
so.
To Vegas.
Not at all.
Okay.
Oh.
Lived in Kansas City. It all started with a F the Chiefs thing as he walked past me. I was like, oh, I got
well, among
you.
Us.
I understand that. Like, oh, no problem.
And so then, that was the drive-by taking.
Well, but then, and that's fine, though. Quick mm-hmm. conversation. And then, you know, he talked about vandalism on his car, Chiefs fans. Chiefs fans segued to Cowboy fans. Cowboy segued to Dak Prescott's the most overrated quarterback in the league.
That's
it's like,
possible.
You know, I don't agree with that. And then he goes, he's just like Lamar Jackson, and I lost it. I was like, now, wait a minute. This is Lamar Jackson is not overrated. And then this was at 11:46 and a half, so they couldn't really let the takes fly. I was like, we're going to talk about this.
You want to get him in here?
You should just get him in here.
Paul
just...
in here. Yeah, Paul's a good dude. Like, he giving Kenny the same take right now.
He walked by me one day. I'm sitting there when I would sit out there and prep. And this is before I'd even met him yet. Hadn't even like, I'd like shook hands, but we hadn't talked yet.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks by and without stopping, just goes, LeBron James is the most overrated player in the history of basketball. And just kept going. He's like, whoa.
Paul.
You can't just throw that at me and bounce.
Paul Marshall got takes, man. I love Paul.
Can he back up the takes? That's a question.
No,
oh, he knows this. I don't know about basketball. He knows football, though.
Like, okay,
he knows football, and he still knows the Raiders.
That's great.
Yeah.
So did you get his reasoning?
I love the people here. No, I was like, we're gonna deal with this. He says he doesn't protect the ball. He coughs up in the big moment. It's some of the narratives around him.
So do you buy the whole idea that postseason play matters?
No. No, we had an extensive conversation to open yesterday's show about this, and mm-hmm. it was essentially something Stephen A. said about what Lamar does moving forward is meaningless. He needs to be Patrick Mahomes, and if he can't be Patrick Mahomes, none of this matters. And I don't agree with that at all, because you have to pick a side here. The bordering on consensus agreement is Patrick Mahomes is projecting to be the greatest quarterback we've ever seen.
Ever.
Yes.
There are some people who would make that proclamation about him right now.
Yes.
And that's perfectly fine based on what we saw. The guy that Lamar can't get past is Patrick Mahomes. So which one is it? Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback right. we've ever seen, or Lamar's career is worthless if he doesn't get past Patrick Mahomes.
Mm.
Because no one said that. You want to make these comparisons of Patrick Mahomes to Michael Jordan. No one has ever said Charles Barkley's career is worthless.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever says Patrick Ewing's career didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
No one said Karl Malone's career didn't matter. I do mm-hmm. want MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, okay, you have to choose a side here. If you don't think Lamar is very good, that's fine. But don't base his entire career on whether his team succeeds in the playoffs or not. You didn't do this with Aaron Rodgers, who has won Super Bowl. You didn't do this with Brett Favre, mm-hmm. who they changed overtime rules for because he kept turning the ball over at the end of NFC Championship mm-hmm. games. You didn't do that to him. Why are you doing that to Lamar Jackson?
Mm-hmm.
And I find the discourse around Lamar absolutely bizarre.
It's
I don't
odd.
Understand it. I think so many people were wrong when he was drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about this is the people in sports media are so prideful with what they say.
Mm-hmm.
They will do everything they can to back up something they said 6 years ago to prove that it's true. Doesn't matter that Lamar has won two MVPs. He's not the best quarterback. He's the best athlete.
Mm-hmm.
You keep moving the goalposts for Lamar Jackson rather than just acknowledging, well, God damn it, I got that one wrong. Bill Polian got that one wrong. Everyone who said he should switch to this position or switch to that position got that wrong because mm-hmm. he has proven on multiple occasions that he is one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Definitely.
And for me, it is Patrick Mahomes tier one, it is Lamar Jackson tier two, and then everybody else, you can figure it out from there. If you want to put Josh Allen in there, Joe Burrow, you could do whatever you want to. Tier one is Mahomes, tier two is Lamar, and everybody else starts in tier three.
Hmm. Interesting.
I don't know that I agree with your tiers.
I don't care.
I know.
That's where I'm at with Lamar Jackson. Yeah. You can agree, you can disagree, but you better come up with a really, really good reason as to why he's not at the top of that
list. Are you trying to have dialogue on the radio?
Yeah, well, my personal opinion is you're right. There is one tier above everyone else.
Right.
But then there's a bunch of dudes that are really, really good. And Lamar is one of those guys. And what he did as a passer last year, absolutely remarkable.
Give me another one of those dudes, though, who's really good.
What, like Josh Allen?
He's better than Josh Allen.
I mean, in certain aspects of the
game. I'd go so far as to say he's significantly better than Josh Allen. You want to talk about overrated players. Until this season is done, Josh Allen is one of the most overrated players in the league.
Why?
I got this stat because every year on this day, we do a four in and four out segment. I got that directly from Trey Wingo. No, it's completely clean. Don't do that. Ever since the playoffs have changed, but the 92 wild card,
mm-hmm.
or whenever the latest prior to 2 years ago,
yeah.
wild card went into effect. Four teams that made the playoffs the year before didn't, and four new teams did.
Right.
It's clockwork. Every year it is at minimum four. It's normally more. I got the Bills out.
Okay.
And the reason I have the Bills out is Josh Allen's interception number has gone up four out of the last 5 years.
Mm.
And the 1 year it didn't go up, it just dropped by one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm of the belief that that trend is going to continue.
Well, I mean, and this year specifically, they just got rid of all those
They don't
receivers.
Have his weapons.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think Herbert's going to is overrated.
Someone has to be a star on his team.
Herbert is... like in the same exact boat, like all of his receivers are gone and he's been a like hit and miss dude as it was anyways.
I think Herbert's going to benefit from his coach. That's kind of the difference right now is I think Sean McDermott is on the hot seat and I think Justin Herbert is going to benefit from Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, it's possible, but still got to have someone to throw to.
You're right.
There's only one Patrick Mahomes you can roll out there with a bunch of horrible.
Well, and they went out and did their best to get a Tyreek Hill type.
Oh yeah,
with that rookie they have, and it's mm-hmm. like, okay, give me a guy who can outrun everybody.
Yeah,
and Worthy. I'm going to have Patrick Mahomes throw him the ball. Yeah. It might not work because that, in a way, is undermining how good Tyreek Hill is.
Sure,
but if it does,
yeah,
you're in really good shape.
Yeah. What do you guys got coming up on D'Lo and KC today?
A lot of this, man. A lot of football predictions. I mentioned four in and four out. I think we need to have an honest conversation about some teams in the league.
Hmm.
And playoff teams turn over so quickly in the NFL. I think sometimes you have these conversations and they come across like hot takes,
mm-hmm.
when in actuality there's a lot of evidence to back up some of these teams, particularly in the NFC, might not be as good as people think.
Can't wait to hear it. D'Lo and KC coming up next. James and I done for the day. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Bye.